Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif
and RJ Choppy.
Did you know that Sean and RJ is both a radio show and a podcast?
No way! You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, asking the questions that matter. Like, have you ever unnecessarily used a level? 877-881-1053.
Because it's fun.
Yeah, because it's fun. Maybe you got a laser one. Maybe you got the little liquid one. And you're like, ooh, look at it go. It's right on track. And you know, you're just building something that's already level. But like, maybe you did it.
What if the floor's not level? And now you're like, you're leveling unnecessarily. See? And the floor is the problem.
I knew this was the right question, the right forum
you know,
for this question.
You know, on light posts, Kevin, where you'll look down at the base of the light post and you'll see there's like these bolts and screws and you're like, why didn't they just plant it in the ground?
Yeah.
Well, it's because of leveling, actually. They're adjustable bolts so that you can level out the pole so it's not leaning. You're welcome.
Now, that side little discussion aside, nope. It was just so we could avoid talking about the Cowboys, because you know what, Alec? You can play any freaking clip that you want.
It's probably a score by Denver.
Not very good.
Second and 10, toss left to Harvey, shredding the defense. There he goes, 25, 20, 10, Harvey strolls in. That's a 40-yard score, and the Broncos have their first lead of the day. They just never found him. I'm not sure he was ever touched.
Yeah, there you go. Because that is what we saw time and time and time again yesterday. But I have a question for all of y'all, and maybe you'll agree with my assessment, maybe you won't. 877-881-1053, Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Did you give up on the Cowboys game yesterday towards the end of the third quarter when the Cowboys gave up? So I'm just going to throw this out there as my mission statement for the game yesterday. And if you disagree, fair enough, let's talk about it. I think that you can go to 3:18 left in the third quarter where the Cowboys said, we're done for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or Brian Schottenheimer, I guess, said, we're done for the day. We don't care to win this game, because that is 100% what I think happened. So the setup is you get a low throw from Dak to Kevontae Turpin. Should have been a better throw. Absolutely should have been a better throw.
There were a few throws yesterday that I was like, that didn't look like regular Dak.
Sure. I do not disagree with that whatsoever. Now, do I also kind of think that Kevontae Turpin should have just caught the ball anyway because he was wide open? Yes. Yes, I do. But that was a poor throw. So that puts you in fourth down. You're at your own 44. You're down 30-17 with 3:18 left in the third quarter. To me, this specific moment felt like a no-brainer. You got to go for it. You're already down two scores, and it's 4th and 6, by the way. You're already down two scores, and this thing is ready to completely spiral out of control. And by the way, if you're curious about that, the Broncos' possessions before that, they'd kicked a field goal, touchdown, touchdown. The only other possession they had in between is when they kneeled the ball for one play at the end of the half. So you had given up scores on 3 consecutive possessions. And I was like, well, obviously you're going to go for it. That's why they ran that play. They're like, hey, it didn't work out. We're going to go for it. Instead, they punt the ball. There's 3:18 left in the third quarter. And to me, that game is over at that point. So did y'all give up on the game at any point yesterday? And I want to know if there's anybody who gave up on the game at that moment, because I thought that's when it was over. And in case you weren't sure that's when it was over, well, what happened after that? The Broncos systematically, once again, broke down the Cowboys' defense. 12 plays, 84-yard drive to make it 37-17. Then on the next Dallas drive, they made it to the red zone and Dak threw a pick.
I do believe after that, like after the game, Schottenheimer was saying he felt the offense was clunky, wasn't very good on that drive specifically. And like, was that the drive you had the Jaden Blue fumble on also? Like he was,
yes.
He was like, this just wasn't, we weren't good. I didn't feel like we could do it. Then you gave up on the team.
Yes.
Because you know better. You know what this team is. You're watching it in live action, buddy. You're sitting there watching what they're doing and going, we can't stop crap.
Well, and then two.
So then that moment, yes, Kevin, that was a moment where he gave up on them because he didn't believe that they could win that game.
And to go along with this, maybe you think it's too harsh and this is how players get better. Why the hell is Jaden Blue in the game as your primary at that point? Like, I thought that was the whole deal going into this is, you know, that was one of the things that Jerry had talked about that, hell, Shoddy had talked about is, you know, using him in the right situation. And he can be good. He can get significantly better over the years, over the drives, over the games, all of that. The game is on the line. This felt to me. Maybe other people felt differently.
Yeah, that might have just been part of the rotation that they had planned for him.
And I hate that. Because you're down 30-17. You scored a touchdown on your first drive to maybe, because you're down by 17 points, bad turnover on the other side of the half. You're down 17 points. You score a touchdown, hold them to a field goal. All right, you just picked up 4 more points.
Mm-hmm.
It's 30-17. You score here, touchdown. You are looking at a 1-score deficit going into the fourth quarter. I don't think that's the time when I'm going to see, hey, what can Jaden Blue do for us? Like, that's just not, whether it's rotationally set or not.
You don't have another running back.
No.
Like, that's the, like, if...
You have Javon.
You don't have time to see if Jaden Blue is or isn't. Like, you got to just throw him to the fire at this point. And that's why. Like, that's where I am with it. I don't have another option. I haven't signed another running back. Miles Sanders is out for the year.
Right.
This is my third backup. I gotta roll with that right now. But I understand what you're saying. But that was a bad drive. But I agree with you, man. That was a moment when they gave up on the game.
Yeah.
They were like, well, because again, you know your defense can't stop anybody.
Yes.
You're watching it happen.
Okay.
So you know that you have to score every time in order. Kevin, that's why I know that you gave up then. This is gonna hurt for me to say. I gave up when they had to kick a field goal at the start of the game. Because at that point, I was like, you're going to have to track race this team, and you can't keep up.
And you know what? And we're going to need to go longer form on that because two penalties. When the Cowboys had the 3-and-out in the first quarter, down 7-3, I was still mad at that moment because you should have had the ball up 7-0.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a penalty forced you to kick a field goal, and a penalty allowed the Broncos to score that touchdown. And for the record, I guess I shouldn't say gave up because I kept watching, even though, but at that point, when you punted the ball, I thought the game was over. And I missed the follow-up question to Schottenheimer saying the offense looked clunky because my follow-up question, of course, would have been, well, what the hell did you think of the defense? Because, like, what has led you at that point to think, well, the defense will lock it down. You're going to be down by 13 points going into the fourth quarter. And I realize what the Broncos did to the Giants last week. I think there's a whole lot of different circumstances that dictated that. What makes you think, well, we're clearly going to force another punt here, and then we just need to reboot on offense, get 2 touchdowns, and in the meantime, get another stop? You had been in position where you just picked up the points. That felt to me like a give up. Give up. We don't care about winning this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think other people gave up earlier too.
They
gave up whenever I did. Whenever, and I say give up. I just knew at that point I was like, you can't do that.
Yeah,
this team, Kevin. We've talked about it since the Carolina game is when we really said the question was, can you give up a single possession where you don't score 7? The answer is no. And like, you have to score 40 points. Hell, 40 points wouldn't have even won you the game yesterday.
Right.
That's what's even worse is how productive Denver was in big gashes throughout the game offensively. And yes, your defense is, you know what they are. You got to figure out how to protect them somehow. And so you look at the stats for Javonte Williams, you're like, those numbers aren't very great. And then you go, well, were you behind and you had to play catch up? Yeah. And that's what this offense starts to panic and go, hey, my best assets are George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. Let's use those guys.
Yeah.
Let's throw. Oh, crap. Well, that we didn't score 7 like we needed to multiple times in this quarter. We are screwed.
Yeah.
This team, Kevin, has they don't, the identity of what they want to be is not real because of the lack of what they can do defensively. Kevin, offensively, it's like whenever you have to be so perfect all the time.
Yep.
And that starts to fray and break on you, and you're like, well, now what? And they have no other options.
So,
they can't lean on their defense.
Like, for example, take that field goal that you talked about. When you score points a lot of the time, not all of the time.
No, when you get a turnover.
Yes.
You should convert that into 7.
But they didn't. But just scoring points felt like a loss. Even though they still had to go good bit of a ways down the field. It's not like they got the ball at like the Denver 12. They still had to move the ball a good bit of the ways down the field, but it felt like a loss. It felt like a loss because you only got 3 points. And you talked about it, I don't know, a few games ago. You can't be punting the ball 3 times.
You can't.
Well, look at their first 5 possessions. In your first 5 possessions, you scored a touchdown, scored a field goal, and then punted the ball 3 times.
Banger had the most yards yesterday. Banger had more yards than you had receiving.
That is really depressing.
He had 242 receiving yards for 246. He had 252 punting yards. Banger was crushing it yesterday.
So you said you can't punt it 3 times in a game.
Punted 5.
And you punted 3 times in the first 5 drives, okay?
Yep.
Think about this. Think about this for a second. In your first 5 drives, 1 field goal, 1 touchdown, you punted the ball 3 times, but you also forced a turnover. What happens before you get the ball back? You're down 27-10. That's what happens when you have to punt the ball. So once again, I go back to what happened towards the end of the third quarter, and I don't understand in good football strategy confidence how you could think that that was the way to go. It boggles the mind, and I'm not discounting. I think you guys are absolutely right. The second and the third possession, I still wonder how different this game could have been. And I see plenty of people who are like, I don't think that you were going to win either way. And maybe you're right. Because it goes back to what was the game where Javonte broke off a big run and then he fumbled the ball. Was that Chicago?
Yeah.
And so maybe
to start the game.
Yeah, maybe you were going to get run either way. But I look at that and been like, a foolish penalty and not just running the ball straight up the middle from the 1 again and again and again cost you a touchdown. So it should have been 7-0. And then you got the stop. You got the stop. Think about it. Your first 2 defensive possessions should have been an interception and a 3-and-out with a 7-0 lead. But instead, because my guy, James Houston, bad penalty, and they get to keep the ball. And then 2 plays later, I believe, they score a touchdown. So all of a sudden, you've already forced a turnover and should have been a 3-and-out, and you're losing 7-3. How does that happen? Terrible penalties.
Yeah, lack of discipline, lack of focus, lack of belief in what you're trying to accomplish. There's a variety of things that it could be. That's what Schottenheimer's supposed to fix on a weekly basis. The consistency discussions by all their players is concerning to me.
Yes.
Guys, why can't we find consistency? Everybody in the room knows what their problems are, and there's not enough balance. You have to have a balance on the offense and defensive side. And the Cowboys' offense has some balance, but because the defense cannot find a leg to stand on, the offense has to be imbalanced. And that forces problems for this team.
And somebody, I just saw, I'm sure there's a lot of texts. I've only been able to see a handful of them because they've been coming in quickly. Somebody said Steele wasn't good yesterday. So, like, let's go.
No, he wasn't. Guyton wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I think Guyton was a heavy part of costing you earlier in the game. And then Steele. Let's focus on Terrence Steele for just a second. We have the punt that we talked about. Broncos follow up, 12 play, 84 yards, score touchdowns, 37-17. What happens on the ensuing drive? Dallas moves down the field into the red zone. Dak throws an interception. Was he going to throw the interception either way? Maybe. But you know what really didn't help on that play? Terrence Steele got absolutely worked. And it was just almost a, it wasn't a straight line because you have to curve around the side. But it almost felt like a straight line to get to Dak to rush the throw. Was he going to throw that interception anyway? I can't say for sure. But what sure as hell didn't help was Terrence Steele getting dominated on that play and having somebody in Dak's face like that.
And that's where, again, you have to be perfect on offense.
For sure.
Because if you can get by, teams can get by with something like that. Because their defense can make a stop.
Yeah.
Their defense can make a stop when they need to, and they aren't completely blocked across the entire board. That's, Kevin, go back and watch this film. You're going to hate it. You're going to hate every single time where you go, that offensive line is one man versus one man, and they took the entire defense out of a play.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to frustrate you even more.
Yeah.
So actually, don't watch the film because I don't want you to be in a worse mood tomorrow. So okay. Don't do that. Just trust me on this. Okay. But that's the imbalance that you have. And it's until that's fixed, Kevin, this team is going to be in this place.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, more on this game. And then I guess my question for y'all is this just going to be the whole season?
Be prepared.
On the inevitable march to 8-8-1. Next on The Fan.
And Prescott's in the gun, 3rd and 5. Four-man rush, pressure, spins away from a sack, and then he is buried. The leading sacking team.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In the league, and the Greenville, Texas native John Franklin Myers just overwhelmed him. That protection just fell apart for a loss of 13.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Is this going to be the whole season on the inevitable march to 8-8-1? Perhaps you think it's 7-9-1, whatever the case may be. I believe this was ESPN, maybe it was Sports Illustrated. So we talked about it going in. I think, Corey, you said 8-9. For the Cowboys, or 9-8?
I had 9-8. Okay. I have my chart actually mapped out. I'm exactly where I said I would be except for the tie.
Except for the tie.
Yeah.
And so I also thought 9-8. And you look at yesterday. So you win at Denver. You could have sent a message. I know they had their miraculous comeback, but they were still 5-2. And instead, you go back to Cowboys form. You give up your longest run of the season. Bo Nix has 4 touchdown passes. If it was 8, I would have believed it as well. Dak Prescott got intercepted twice while the number one offense was held in check. Offensive line certainly didn't help with that. Cowboys have now lost 8 in a row to Denver. And you can look at it now, and I'm sure some people felt like this, but you look at it now and you're like, well, of course they did. Because that's what they have done so often. And that might be what they're lined up to do again this season. And I wonder if we're going to have all these highs and lows just inevitably end up at 8-8-1.
Okay. So, Kevin, this everybody has to face this reality right now. Talent-wise, you're not a good defense. You don't have the players defensively to be able to do what you need to do. That's a combination of big whiffs in the draft and downright malpractice and neglect in free agency.
Yep.
Like that's the Cowboys have screwed their defense over by going, we'll wait on DeMarvion Overshown.
Yeah.
And Mozzie will be fine. We don't have to do anything there. We'll just wait until he gets good. Like these.
You know, Tom Landry said, I don't know if you ever heard this quote, that it's the third year you have to wait for that defensive lineman. Here we are.
I feel like you can kind of figure it out.
So he's hitting,
it doesn't
right?
always have to be that.
Oh, okay.
Just whenever your guy hasn't done it in the first 2 years, you got to start using that.
Gotcha.
This is the life we've chosen.
It is.
I know. We need to play that other kid.
Talking
about how he hates this team.
The way I look at it, and this, we all, like, I feel like 8 games in is a pretty good dose of understanding what you really are.
Right.
There are 5 tiers, not streaming down my face. There are 5 tiers that that are good, bad teams.
Okay.
3, you're either really good or really bad. Those are the top and bottom tiers.
Okay.
In the middle, it's mediocre, and it's separated into 3 different tiers there.
Okay.
You either are above mediocre, mediocre, or sub-mediocre. A team that can beat bad teams cannot beat good teams and cannot beat above mediocre teams.
Ooh.
You're a bad team.
Oh, no.
And your talent on the defensive side of the ball is bad. You can become a mediocre team with 1 defensive addition, but you have to upgrade a lot in a variety of areas before you can be above mediocre. And that's where the Cowboys are right now. That's like, this team is a sub-mediocre team that if they make the trade to add a defensive player, they're still mediocre. Maybe they go to above mediocre just a little bit. But they are sub-mediocre right now, and that's the reality. So, Kevin, yes, if it's going to be destined to be an 8-8-1 team, 8-8-1 would tell you that you were mediocre.
Yeah.
But if you can't beat mediocre teams, let alone just above mediocre teams, then you are below that. And your record is, it just kind of tells you, yeah, you're in that area. You're in that window, but you're one of the bottom of the mediocre teams because of the losses that you sustain. I'll take that. When you look at your schedule and say, did we beat good teams? No. Did we beat bad teams? All of your wins so far are against teams that have losing records.
I hate this team.
So you understand.
Oh, I get that.
That, exactly. Like you, so you understand that you are one of the sub-mediocre. Anybody in that parody that Jerry's always talking about, it is exactly that. Every once in a while, you'll get an outlier, really good teams that have all, they're chock full of talent, got great coaching, they got all the good things going on. And then you'll get the outliers of the really bad teams, the Jets, the Bengals, like the teams that are in that window, that just, they can't beat anybody. But then there's that trio of, where are you in that mix? Because you could get a chance if you're just above mediocre, but this team is not.
Hey, shut up. The teams we beat have won 6 games.
How many have they lost?
17. Okay. And Washington is a 10.5-point underdog tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels logical.
And they didn't have 3 receivers.
Yes.
You were able to do what you wanted to offensively against them.
So it feels logical to say it will probably be 6-18. And you know what's really weird about this all? And then you have a tie in a game that you could have definitely won. You have a tie against the team with the best record in the NFC. That doesn't make any sense. How?
Yeah, it does.
Because that's the Cowboy way.
That game specifically, you leveled up for that one game. Kevin, in Super Mario Brothers, when Mario would get the mushroom and he'd go nuts, like you leveled up for that one game because it was against Micah. That's why I ask Jerry this a lot. When are you going to go in there and be a real son of a bee? You know, I've asked him that. Like, they play whenever they realize that Jerry has something on the line and he needs their help. Hey, I traded Micah away, and the team said, we'll respond for you.
Yeah.
Clock guy didn't in that instance, and now we have a tie, obviously. But, like, they will respond. There's just too much. Yeah, they're one of the best teams in the NFL, and you tied them. You tied them.
Yeah,
you got more games coming up, Kevin, where it's just going to, the water in the ceiling is starting to build up, and at some point it's just going to, against the Buffalo, against the Detroit, all these other teams, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here?
And so here in lies, first of all, I think that sound effect is a good description. Here's what's going to happen. And you can almost see it as already being done. You're going to win on Monday Night Football against Arizona because Arizona is not very good. Plus, you're playing at home. And then you're going to head into the bye week.
Has Kyler ever lost in AT&T Stadium?
Ooh.
Are we still at that point where he hasn't lost a game at AT&T?
Are you sure he's going to play?
That's a good point.
And so I think you're going to win that game, which is not what you want for the big picture of this franchise. That's just me.
Because you
personally
go into the bye week with all these like dreams.
Not only the bye week, but the next day is the trade deadline. And so once again, could you fool yourself into thinking, hey, we're 4-4-1. We just made an upgrade. We're coming off the bye. We're playing against a terrible Las Vegas team. Those are the teams that we feast on. And that therein lies a little bit of the problem if you look at the schedule. Like, I know that November schedule around Thanksgiving is going to punch you in the face. But the next two teams that you play, they have a combined record of 4-10. These are the teams that you usually feast against. And I hope... I know Jerry said like what would happen in the game would not necessarily impact his thought process on how to make the team better. I really hope that it does, because maybe you destroy Arizona because you're awesome at home and you're awesome on beating up against crap opponents. And then maybe Overshown really does come back for that Monday Night Football game. And maybe you beat up on another crap opponent. All of a sudden you're 5-4-1 and they feel justified about if they did anything at the trade deadline. But realistically,
so you don't have the feeling that if you just hang around that you can.
No, look,
things can turn around.
And that's why most of the year I have not really wanted to make moves with those. Just in general, but certainly not with those top draft picks. I think the right thing to do for the health of your franchise overall is to just wait. I don't think people are going to stop talking about the Cowboys next year just because you have another crap season. We've seen it before. And guess what? Everybody still talks about the Cowboys because let's say you make a trade and you get Overshown back. Now you're 5-4-1. Rock on. Do you honestly think, here's your rest of your schedule, host Philly, host Kansas City, at Detroit, host Minnesota, host the Chargers, at Washington, at New York. You think down the stretch you're going 5-2 to finish the season at 10-6-1? Because if you honestly do, and I kind of think that the front office honestly does think that, then I understand why you're going to go for it. But I think if we're all being real with ourselves, that ain't going to happen. And that's why making whatever move for especially a one-year player that will be gone after this year, I think would be hugely problematic and very, very short-sighted.
All right, Kevin, if you were going to go 5-2, let's that stretch there, if you were going to go 5-2, which teams are you beating? Giants and Washington on the road? Maybe the Chargers?
I think maybe Minnesota.
Maybe Minnesota?
Because those are home games, so you'd have to beat
the Chiefs, Eagles, or Lions.
Yeah, and you might have to win two of those games. I don't see it, because as much as I thought they looked kick-ass against Washington, it was without their three best players. You throttled the Jets. The Jets are terrible. You needed, thank God for Brandon Aubrey, to beat the New York Giants, and they still don't look good. Even when they switched out their quarterback, they've had plenty of their own struggles. So the thought that you're going to beat Philly, beat Kansas City, go on the road and beat Detroit, nonsense.
I do, because somebody said it wouldn't matter because Eberflus is still your coordinator.
It seems like they're pretty dug in.
I am kind of curious on the front of, does he have NFL players on his side of the football?
And that's so like that's,
if you gave him NFL players on his side of the football, is he better, or did you buy him to make your players NFL players?
Which that
feels, right now they don't look like an NFL defense.
That feels like a mistake. But
like I feel like your whole goal is to litter the side of the ball with as much talent as you possibly can so that you can be in position to make a move that would say, yeah, that'll put us over the top for that 5-2 stretch at the end of the game.
And that's a way more terrifying prospect, right? And that's why so many people say fire Eberflus, because you're hoping like, hey, we can make that one
move.
Somebody
else has a magic wand. Yeah.
Because if you don't, the harder move to pay attention to is, hey, I'm glad you got Deron Bland, but what else is happening out there? Safeties getting injured all the time, and when they're not injured, are they really that great? Trayvon Diggs, maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't, but it's his heart, or maybe his skill level because of the injuries doesn't really seem to be into it. Hey, Marshawn Nealon, are you still on this football team? Hey, Dante Fowler, that one game was awesome against, I think, the Jets. Where have you been all of these other times? Are we really depending on Shamar James, the fifth round pick, to take over and do everything like that? You've already mentioned Mazi Smith. We've talked about that. So, like, that's way more intimidating to think about, because then all of a sudden you're like, hey, we got two extra first round picks. Who's making those picks?
Let's go.
And how are they going to do it?
We're going to need to break those down into multiple third round picks so that we can fill the defense up with more players.
Okay, because otherwise people are going to be thinking, let's take more Marshawn Nealons. Let's take more Mazi Smiths.
We need more offensive linemen.
Yes, that is true.
You
need a right and a left tackle. Well, we got Nate Thomas ready to roll. Let's see if they'll end up deploying him. But yeah, you have a lot of issues. I know that's not the way. I know that's not what's going to happen with Steven today, with Jerry tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Just, hey, we got people coming back. We're going to turn it around, and you got to execute and everything like that.
If we can get this win against Arizona, then we can get to the bye week and reassess where we are and then make a big push on the other side.
And I'm not saying they're the only team that does this, because they're most definitely not. But I kind of wish that internally, at least, they would be like, this team is not good enough. Maybe trade off a couple of people and continue to stockpile draft picks and then figure it out from there. Because I don't think this way works at all. Okay, well, I gave it a shot, Jerry. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, hey, guess what? At least the Mavs and Stars both won yesterday. Let's talk about that next right here on The Fan.
Scotty Barnes misses. He's back in the game. Mavericks running. Good ball. Oh!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where, well, at least we had the Mavs and the Stars yesterday, and they were able to put wins on the board. Would you like to start with the Mavericks, or would you like to start with a Dallas Stars?
Let's roll out with the Stars, dude.
Okay.
Since our interview with Jim Nill on Friday, which, if you haven't heard it, go check it out on the Odyssey app or on 105.3thefan.com, because, Kevin, it was exceptional. Since then, though, Stars are undefeated.
And also, did Bobby just leave the room with volume up on the computer or whatever?
I have no clue. I think when I said Stars, he just got furious.
Oh, okay.
You know, that morning show is not a huge Stars group.
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to put that on them.
Because sometimes the games are late.
Oh, they know how to read an email. Go ahead and give me cut number 23, if you will. And the Stars are victorious.
Harley again. Robertson. Low. Bork. Right side. Score! What movement! And Mikko Rantanen finishes with a second left on the power play. Dallas has the lead.
The Stars win Saturday and Sunday by marks of 3-2, in case you were confused, thinking this was the same game, though they were actually different games. You had different goaltenders in the net as well, but you get the 3-2 win both times, which was huge because you had been spiraling. I know you got the point against the Kings, but that was a home game, and you gave up a really quick, really not too competitive overtime goal to lose that potential other point. So to see them get wins on Saturday and Sunday, take 4 points in the span of like 28 hours or whatever it was very impressive.
Do you feel, we were talking about the Cowboys' identity. Do you feel that the Stars' identity has changed at all from what we've thought about them for the last 4 years, 3 or 4 years? Or are they still used to, it's because the same players, you're just like, it's not going to change much if you have those players.
I know. When they play Washington on Tuesday, you'll hit 10 games. And Kidd talked about this, and Nil, to a certain extent, kind of talked about this, that 10 to 20 games in is where you feel like you'll get a better definition for what your team is and what they do well. And
we're
what
only
they,
9 right now.
Yeah,
so.
But like, and this has been a confusing 9, because you go back to the very first two games, you win what ends up being essentially shootouts, despite the fact that especially in the first game, you had a really big lead. Then you look at that chunk at the beginning part of your losing streak, your defense and your goaltending looks subpar, and now you've gone back in these last two games able to kind of grind it out just a little
bit. Yeah, it feels like those first three were very, very similar to what the Stars were. We're like, oh, they just carried over. And right, they're just going to keep right. rolling that way, because you still had leaky defense moments. Like, you still had those,
sure.
which created the what you said felt like shootout wins. And then you looked like you couldn't, offensively, you couldn't do anything.
Yes.
In the other two. Like, yes. that's where you were like, hold on, is this something, we didn't expect this. Like, you would never expect the Stars to not be able to put the puck in the net. And so that's where I'm kind of like, if they're the same identity and they haven't become more mentally tough or more physically tough, then we just change coaches for the sake of changing coaches.
Yeah, no, I definitely won't go that far yet. I understand if people have those concerns, but one thing
I do.
Okay.
And understand me.
Okay, I understand you. But one thing that I think you will love, because I know you love this player. By the way, we're going to have an autographed puck from this player for Peace-a-thon. Mikko Rantanen could be the person who develops in your identity of, he is ready to absolutely be your best player, to not disappear for as many games as sometimes you've seen previously in his career. 3 goals over the last 2 games. And you saw, they were all very consequential, and some of them game-winning goals. And so I think that potentially could be your... That could be potentially your development that maybe...
It's a bit, yeah, a different change from what you've been overall.
Yeah, yeah. And for the first time in maybe a minute, depending on how you feel, you could have a very defined best player. Because I know there, you go back 2 seasons, Jason Robertson was your best player, setting franchise records offensively. A lot of people will tell you that Miro is your best player. I know there are other people who...
Robe!
Yeah, would push for...
Otter.
Rope or Otter, or maybe one of the things that develops with this team is you look at Rantanen and you're like, well, that's obviously your best player. You have lots of other really good players behind him, but that's obviously your best player, and he can come through with a clutch point when you need
it. Let's do it then.
Oh, okay.
Let's do more of that.
And Rope hints, I think he's fallen out of that conversation. Just my opinion, I don't think you can reasonably have a conversation and say he's the best player on this team. He was out for yesterday's game, run into a couple of injury issues, and that last one is from the hit on Saturday night that he took in the third period. So he was out last night. You were still able to get the win, but yeah, you'd really like to see Rope and then Wyatt Johnston, that we've talked about, have just stellar seasons.
Yeah, some electric moments.
I think that would help progress this team significantly.
I'm with you on that, especially for Wyatt, like the continued development and growth of him, for sure.
Now, on the Mavericks front, we got news with the game yesterday, but also you were telling me Mark Aguirre is going to have his jersey retired.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Looks like on January 29th, the Mavericks are planning to retire Mark Aguirre's number. Now, here's an interesting, this is interesting.
He deserves it.
He had a very
tumultuous.
Tumultuous time as he left the Mavericks, and he did not like speaking about the Mavericks after that. And I am kind of curious, when Dirk was like, hey, I'm upset with this franchise, and Luka is gone, and those were your two most recent franchise cornerstones, then you have to go, well, we need to go lean back on whatever we had nostalgic in the past, and now let's go find Mark McGwire, who hated us for a while, and say, please help us in this time. And he, dude, he's emotionally in, like, as you said, he deserves this. This is awesome for him, and congratulations whenever this does happen. I love it for him.
And I'm not...
But it does feel like they're kind of leaning on more nostalgia because they don't have anything else, a foundation to lay on right now.
I am not here to argue about the selling of nostalgia for them whatsoever. I'm just happy for him because, with all due respect to Brad Davis, Mark McGwire was the second or first from that era.
He's an awesome player.
I personally put Rolando Blackman first, but he was my first favorite player. But Mark McGwire is absolutely the 1B then to 1A of Blackman, if that is how you see it. He absolutely deserves this. Now, is the timing of it to smoke and mirror for some other things? Maybe. And that is...
But happy for him.
Yeah, he absolutely, absolutely deserves it.
And for the kids out there who are like, I have no clue who Mark McGwire is.
Go look it up. Those 80s Mark Mavericks
McGwire is
were
a baseball
good.
Player. Mark McGwire is a former Maverick. Go look his numbers up. Go look what he did. And that period of time, that was an exciting time for the Mavericks because you thought they're building something special.
I mean, the 87-88 Mavericks team went to the Western Conference Finals and made it to Game 7 at the Forum against the Lakers, who went on to win that championship. So they were.
So if it hadn't been for the Lakers, the Mavs would have had their first championship that year.
Could they have defeated the Pistons, or would the Pistons have won 3 straight? Don't know. But that's how good they were. Now, the Mavericks win. But I want to actually focus on something else. We could talk all about the Mavericks win, but I thought this was a really smart answer from Jason Kidd. I think just about everything that the Mavericks have done in the fallout of trading Luka has been the wrong direction. Like, if you see the right direction...
Drafting Cooper Flagg was the wrong direction?
Yeah, because they definitely planned that out. Well, maybe they did. Fortune favors the bold, I've heard. But most of the things that they've done have been wrong. Here's Jason Kidd, because he was asked, after you lost to freaking Washington on Friday, and make no mistake about it, Washington sucks. So the fact that you lost to Washington, well, I will let you draw your own conclusions for that. But Jason Kidd, and you lost to them at home, for God's sakes. Jason Kidd was asked about, people are still chanting, fire Nico. I think he gave a good answer. I think they had, this is Jason Kidd, I think they have the right to vent. This is a different team. This is a new team. We're just getting to understand each other. We're going to keep learning each other. I would say be patient, but I understand the frustration. We all want to win. We all want to compete at a high level. This is a game of expression, and the fans have a right to express themselves. So what I like about it is he was like, hey, this is a new team. This is a different deal. It might take us just a second. While also being like, hey, I get it. You're mad because you're a guy. One of the best players in the league got sent away, and you're still mad about it.
And has torched some people a few times.
Yes.
And is now also injured.
He did get hurt, because that is unfortunately what happens with Luka quite a bit. But you've gotten the full Luka experience early in the season, where he puts up ridiculous numbers for the Lakers.
And then sits out for a week.
Yes, that are better than anything else the Mavericks have been able to put together. And then he misses time.
And I'm not saying that and just flippantly being like, Luka's nothing. Luka was
the
most exciting Maverick player we've ever had, probably. As much as Dirk gave us, Luka was uniquely gifted. But this is the place you're in right now, where you're watching on the other side of things going, what? Why? But you're also watching a Cooper Flagg grow into his body in the NBA right now, in real time.
So here's some positive stuff for Cooper Flagg. According to ESPN research, I did not do this research. At 18 years old and 309 days, or I guess I should say 18 years and 309 days old, Cooper Flagg became the 5th youngest player in NBA history to score at least 20 points in a game. These are the other people in the group: Jermaine O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, Tracy McGrady, and LeBron James. So that's a pretty damn good group to be a part of. It Jermaine O'Neal is
two
the
champions?
Is the worst. What's that?
Is that two champions or is that?
Ooh, at least two. I'd have to check on one of them. But if Jermaine O'Neal is the worst player that you're in a group with, that's probably a pretty good group. And then also
Jermaine O'Neal's a fantastic interview, by
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. Cooper Flagg joined Kobe Bryant as the only players in NBA history to score 20 points without committing a turnover in a game before they turn 19.
Look,
are you still 1-2 and you lost to crappy Washington? Yes. Yes, you did. But hopefully that last win was a step in the right direction. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.